Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
Okay, can we read together? It says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into songs." Can we read together? "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into songs, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord." Now, very important that you look at what, go back, just, I'm going to take just verse 1. Notice the person who's talking. He says the Lord. So it's not man that is saying that stuff. So if you're going to look at it from man's perspective, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's not rational to be singing when you don't have any fruits. You've been taught over time, growing up, that when you don't have, there's a disposition you should give. It could be a disposition that is of one that is crying, of one that is sad, but it's never of one that is rejoicing. Because people feel, I mean, look at it, when you, for instance, you fail an exam, you know that how you, when you grow up from school, you can't come home and be excited. They say, "What did you take?" You say, "I took last." Or you can't be excited. You have arranged yourself. There's a disposition. You are even, you know, trying to carry yourself in such a way that so that people will sympathize with you and they don't beat you too much if they have to beat you. All right? So it's been taught from right when we were children that it's not normal. So when God says something, the first thing that hits you is that there's a wall. When he says, "This is what you should do," there's a wall already hitting you that, look, this is not supposed to be. Your mind is already telling you that it doesn't make sense. I mean, we're supposed to be rational here, and you can't be dancing. And even if you try not to be rational, other people will remind you that you have to be rational. And most of the time, the people that remind you that you should be rational are people who are close to you, or people who are even elderly to you, who will call you and advise you, "My brother, what are you saying? They are telling you that this thing is like this. You are saying that the Lord said." Who is the Lord? Did you meet him? Have you seen him? Do you know him? Look at my gray hair. I have been in this business for a long time. We should tell you who the Lord is, not you. Then they read some parables that tell you that say, you know, it's an old man that sees something sitting down. And right now I'm sitting down. I'm seeing something you're not seeing. Even the Bible tells you, you know, you need to accept the words of your elders. Is that not what they say? They say in the multitude of counsel. We're giving you counsel now. Listen. Whoever told you that thing is not sure. It's a stretch. Why are you stretching to? We have been stretching since. This is how this country is. It's not, we're telling you. So they give you all manner of advice. And sometimes that advice may restrict you. So when I was looking at this scripture, it dawned on me that, look, you really can't perform stretch without total surrender to the one that is saying it. I feel that when we talk about surrender, a different concept came to my mind. God gives you the consciousness of surrender and also helps you to get to the place of surrender. I know it may look strange, but that's the thing that came to me. Because, we are right here in this world. He's the one that is in heaven. He's the one that, in heaven, there's total surrender. So we don't understand the concept of surrender. It was never taught to us. I remember sometime where somebody said, when you travel out, you discover that you'll be behaving like a Nigerian outside until they remind you. Let me give you an example. You meet a traffic light. You know, normally when you meet traffic light, you know here we run. The cars don't obey the traffic light. So you are running and somebody's reminding you, "No, don't worry. Here, once the traffic light is on, the cars don't pass. They stop." It will take time for you to adjust. So what God does is that he has to help you. But you need to come to that place of surrender. You have to give him that, your mind and your whole being. And I like that's why it's in Romans chapter 1. It says, if you can give me Romans chapter 12 from verse 1, as living sacrifices. Please, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, because that scripture just came to my head just now. Romans 12 and from verse 1. Are you there? Okay, look at this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. Look at this. It's not a suggestion. They are urging you. Which means that there's a possibility of you going off from that thing that they told you. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of what God wants to give to us, in view of what God wants to release to us, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I like the way Reverend Ben said it one time. He said, you know, you are now a living sacrifice. Normally, a sacrifice is supposed to be dead. A living sacrifice can backslide. God. You know, they just like, you know, halfway through, they just say, I don't think God really meant it that way. So I'm trying to emphasize that you constantly need to be in that space of surrender so that he helps you. Amen? All right, so now, I wrote this down, that if you notice, when he said, sing, O barren woman, it's like a time zone has been unveiled to us. A time zone. God works with seasons and times. And yesterday, Reverend Chindog was saying something. He said, God looks at your book and says, this is the season you're supposed to be in. So it's a time zone that he's, you know, showing us that this is where I'm taking you to. And I need you to adjust yourself. So two things you need to consider when you're giving your total surrender is that we're in a time zone. And that time zone is controlled by God, not by you. It's not the 24-hour clock. So it gives you that consciousness that I need to surrender. Because if I miss the time zone, I miss what God is doing. The second thing is that we do not know the extent. When we say, sing, barren, you who did not give birth, you shall not have children. That definition from God, you don't know the extent of it. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or imagine. So the extent of what he wants to get you into, you do not know. You may just have a concept that, oh, maybe this year God's going to bless me. I'm going to move in different dimensions. I'm going to arrive in different spaces. I will get so many things. Your concept of what he wants to do may be so small. You know, sometimes we're thinking about, you're thinking about a car and he's thinking about a car industry. You understand what I'm saying? But because your mind is so small to take what God is saying. It says, as my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. And they are so far apart. So these two things, the fact that he's in control of time and he's bringing you to a time zone, and that you do not know the extent of how much he wants to bless you or how much he wants to use you to bless people, constantly will make you say, I need to come to that place of surrender. That's the motivating factor. And one thing that you need to understand is that true surrender gets you into some certain things that you need to do daily, consciously. I was reading Psalm 119 from verse 18. Psalm 119 from verse 18. There are benefits that are supposed to come from stretch, but there are things we need to do. Look at it. It says, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. If you truly get to a space of surrender, you will see that God will begin to open your eyes to see new things. True surrender gets you to that place where God begins to show you daily what you need to do. Once he captures you and says, this guy is for me. Okay, look, let me give you an example. Abraham was one that had that concept. That even when Lot was trying to, you know, battle for the land that God had given to Lot, to Abraham. Abraham said, okay, no problem, you can take over. The moment because he understood what true surrender was. Look at it. And God told him, as far as your eyes can see. Sight is very important in this venture or in this journey of stretch. Sight is very important. Did you see what happened to Gehazi? Gehazi came and told his master, Elisha, that, look, listen, you know, the way things are, I don't think we can win this battle. And Elisha just said one prayer, God, open his eyes. When God opens your eyes, excitement beholds your whole being. Because Gehazi came and started, you would have told me since that this is what we are going to do. Oh no. You know that kind of thing. Like, said, look, this guy, you are finished. Today you are gone. Because he saw the array of angels all around. So that's what true surrender gets you to. It gets you to a place where you open your eyes and just begin to follow God. The next thing is that true surrender gets you to a place where you build a character of trust. I borrowed something from what Reverend said one time. He says that, you know, we all love God, but sometimes we don't trust his character enough to provide for us. Very strong statement. To love God, there's nobody here that doesn't love God. But it takes something else to trust his character enough to do something for you. So when the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, you will understand what I'm talking about. True surrender gets you to that point where you build trust in God. And it's practical, very practical. In James chapter 1 from verse 21, because you see the steps. After he opens your eyes, he shows you his word. He shows you where he wants you to get to. Then you need to take something with that word. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid. So look at what surrender is doing now. It's getting you to a place where you are taking off the rubbish. You can confidently tell yourself that you are a Christian. There's nothing wrong with you. Listen. As long as you are not there, there's still rubbish inside you, if you understand what I'm trying to say. As long as you are not where God wants you to be, there's still rubbish that he needs to get out of you. So he says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth. So surrender gets you to a point where you now become practical enough to pull out certain things that are inside your life, or take out certain friends, or take out certain environments that are around you that are not supposed to be there. It gets you to move away from liturgy. You know, sometimes as Christians, you can be very relaxed. You know, we are faith men. You know, we go to church, we sing the songs. You know, like Pastor Mercy was singing just now, you're singing forever, yo, hallelujah. You're singing the song. See, all those things are part of what you're supposed to do, but when it comes to practical things that you need to do, it's personal. So, surrender pushes you to that part. I pray that God will open your eyes to see the personal things that you need to do. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, let me break it down for you. Mark 4, 26, Jesus was teaching about the sower, the seed, and the soil. And he says that you are the soil. You and I are the soil. The word comes from the Father. That's the seed. Now we are expected to plant it. So watch out. If your soil is not in order, I'm using what I read in James in another way. If your soil is not in order, when the word gets there, it cannot perform. Sounds like what Pastor Chintok was saying yesterday. You frustrate the grace. You frustrate the grace. So what you're supposed to do is to, as the word is coming, you're removing the things that are not supposed to be there. So that you can confidently plant what needs to be planted. And it's practical. You know, there's power in declaration. So much power in declaration. But the number of times with which you declare will determine the number of times with which the rubbish in your life goes away. Do you know you're always declaring? You're either declaring what God's word said or declaring what somebody else said. If you're on Facebook, you're declaring. If you're on social media, you're declaring. Because they are there. So, and anytime somebody says something, you take it, you narrate it, you say it, you're declaring. So just imagine the planted seed, which is the word. You got it in. You took another one and planted on top of that one. Of course, you did farming or agriculture. I mean, those of us who were in secondary school, you built ridges. I didn't build because, you know, we don't have power. We call people to help us to build. But you plant. If you don't plant it, well, at the end of the day, you're going to have problems. The seed that is coming out will come out very funny. it won't get the right result. So I'm just trying to reemphasize the importance that you need to see that there has to be something that you have to do to remove those things from there. So that's what I need to say. Then the third one is that you need to keep the process going. The first one I said before was that you have surrender gets you to a point where you open your eyes. Second one is that it builds a character of trust. How do you build the character of trust? You sow the seed into your life. How do you sow your seed into your life? You speak it. You speak the word. Many of us have been trained to speak in cursing. Ogun agbe, uzwo, you are a fool. Are you a fool? Are you thinking straight? And then you say you are not abusing the person. Well, the devil doesn't understand that you are not abusing the person. No, it has gone. So we need to be careful. Number three, I said, is to keep the process growing. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Luke 2:52. Keep the process growing. Listen, I enjoy when Reverend says something. I'm not trying to say because he hits some things and you need to say it again. He said God is more interested in the process than the outcome. And that's true. Many times we are more excited about the gift than how the gift came. So we shouldn't take the focus off. We are programmers. So we should be more interested in the process than what is going to happen. If you're more interested in the process, you'll be patient. Somebody who wants to cook a good food, it takes time to cook the food. You know there's jollof rice and there's jollof rice. That you'll be asking what happened, how did they do this thing? When they garnish all the things, you say, man, forget that guy. when he cook, you'll know. It's process. They take time. They know when to put the ingredients. They know the timing. So they keep that process, and they kept it over time. That's why you call them chefs. Everybody can cook. Not everybody's a chef. That's different between process. That's the difference. Okay, so Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus increased. Watch the word. He increased. Increase is process. He increased. That means he was intentional in getting wisdom. He was intentional in growing in stature. He was intentional. All right? And in favor with God and man. He was also intentional. You know, sometimes I learned something recently. You know, when God is stretching you, right? You must understand that there are certain things that will hold serious. Like, for instance, your relationship. Because if Jesus didn't have a wonderful relationship, he can't have favor with men. You know, somebody say, I'm for God and no man can help me. Okay. I will see how God wants to jump from heaven to help you. We are who we are today because God used men to get us there. If nobody taught you in class, you won't be singing here. Somebody taught you. So you need to understand now, you need to value relationships. Because what you make happen for one, God makes happen for you. I don't know if I'm making sense to you at all. So Jesus did that. So it says, I wrote here that all those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So if what I'm trying to say is here, it was by the Spirit of God, based on the fact that Jesus has surrendered. Of course, you know, I don't want to go through that process. When you surrender, the Spirit helps you because it was the Spirit of God that helped Jesus to increase. He helps you to increase. He helps you to grow in wisdom. He helps you to grow in stature. And then he helps you to find favor with God and with men. Not everybody is supposed to be your friend, it's true. But he knows how to tell you how to talk to people so that you don't tell them in such a way that you close the door completely to them. Somebody made a statement one time, saying, when you are closing the door, don't close it completely. You may need to pass there. When you are not coming next time, I say, bros, not be you come here before. I will show you today. That's why they say, sorry, nah, mistake. I don't know, say you'll be this. That won't be our portion in Jesus' name. Number four, and I'll round off with this. Follow the apostles' doctrine. Surrender gets you to follow the apostles' doctrine. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42. He says they follow and they continue steadfastly. Look at process. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread and in prayers. My point I want to make there is the apostles' doctrine. I was going to round off with the other three, and God reminded me, listen, you see, we're in an age where people don't listen to those who are in authority. Everybody wants to, you know, do your thing. Listen, God created an order. Let me give you an example. In Psalm 133, the Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's one. That's the part we get excited about. But then it says, it's like the oil flowing from the head of Aaron down. So if you do not now listen to the people that God has put ahead of you, I'm talking about God that he put ahead of you. I'm not talking about your elders now, so you don't say, well, pastor, you said something. I'm talking about the pastoral body that God has put, the apostolic community that God has put ahead of you. You may never get to your place of stretch. It's very important. You say, God has given the word. Let's run. Eh? They are not telling you, no, this is how you should do it this period. You say, no. Pastor, this is what I think. We are not running a democracy. In the kingdom. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Lastly, look at this. What God wants to achieve for us in the place of stretch is for us to enter into the fullness of our purpose. I was listening when one of the speakers was saying yesterday that all things work together for good according to them that are called of his purpose, of his purpose. So stretch is of his purpose. Now, purpose does not arrive outside of God, but within the space of God. Should I say it again? Purpose does not arrive outside of God, but within the space of God. I'll just mention it one more time. Purpose does not arrive outside of God, but within the space of God. So it's a rounding off statement I'm making. That if indeed this is what God's purpose is for me, then I must stick to what he has said within this period, within this time that we have come for a camp meeting, so that I can reach where he wants me to go. Praise the Lord. We're going to take some prayer points. I probably will need the Eagle Heights to help me out now. Jesus was so conscious, and he was the first person that did the absolute surrender. Was the first. And you can't do anything separate from what he did. In Luke 22, verse 42, he made a prayer point. And he says, Father, not my will. Your will always be standing. In fact, you are excited. Yesterday, I was in the bathroom. I was saying, why don't we have this kind of stuff? I says, yeah, I know this is the good place. When you leave now, the real deal starts. Your will stand. Say, what do you say you won't do? You won't turn your leg. You see the way I'm standing? You want to turn your leg straight. This is how it is. But Jesus said, and this is the comfort zone. You know, when we're here, we're charged up, and it's good. We're feeling all the things. And when we go out there, we see something that looks like what people call reality. And we're comfortable with that. And Jesus says, not my will, but yours. I feel God wants to give us an exchange this morning. That's what my assignment is here, an exchange. You know, there's a song they were singing yesterday about your vessel, or something about your vessel, I can't remember, or something has to do with your, yeah, God bless you, and it was ringing in my head, and that's the prayer you should make. When you make that prayer, the exchange takes place. Let me shock you. When I said the atmosphere, when you call, what has been happening since that we have been making exchanges, God is making the exchange so that you can be comfortable enough to run the race that he's asking you to run. So we're just going to lift up our voice. Luke chapter 22. Let's make that prayer, and then we just take that song. There's a couple of things that I feel that God is saying. Can we rise on our feet? Just make that prayer. Say, Lord, not my will. I'm here to surrender to you. Not my will, not my will. You need to say with your words, there's power in your tongue. Today I drop my will. I drop my Romans 9:16 says, not of him that runneth or willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. So can we rise on our feet and just say that prayer? Lord, not my will. Wherever my will is still showing forth, I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. Please lift up your voice and make that prayer. There's an exchange already happening. As you're making that prayer, there's an exchange. There's an exchange. There's an exchange. There's an exchange. In every life, there's an exchange. There's an exchange. There's an exchange. John 15 and verse 2, he says, I'm pruning you. Those who are my own disciples, I'm pruning them so that they can bear more fruit. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice if you can. Lift up your hands and just say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Just the way Jesus did. You know, when Jesus was making that prayer, it was difficult. But the Bible says the angels came and they comforted him. So that's the exchange I'm talking about. I know what I'm saying. 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 I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender. It's a serious prayer. But when God sees your heart turn, we just make the prayer just a few more seconds. A few more seconds. If you can give us that song, Yielded Vessels. Yielded Vessels. Yielded Vessels. Yielded Vessels. If you can give us the lyrics so that we can make it up to the Lord as an incense up to the Lord.
Yielded vessels made just for your glory. We are ready.
Yeah, show him you're ready.
Pour into us. Yielded vessels made just for your glory. We are ready. Pour
Come on now.
Into us.
Let's lift up our voice and sing that song.
Yielded vessels made just for your glory. We are ready. Pour into us. Oh, yield that vessel.
Made just for
your glory. Oh, we are ready. Pour into us.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.